El Paso's annual celebration of the artist, novelist, and historian Tom Lee will run through the month of October and includes a number of cultural events designed to explore the life and work of this extraordinary El Pasoan. Among the highlights of events during Tom Lee Month is the theatrical production of a new play titled Tom Lee, Grace Note in a Hard World, performed by actor Ray Baker and written by playwright and screenwriter Camilla Carr. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Ray Baker is a veteran actor with scores of credits on film, television, and the stage. Baker will originate the title role in this weekend's performances of Tom Lee, Grace Note in a Hard World, and I'm delighted to have him on the program today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. It's great to be here.
Well, welcome to El Paso. I know you've been rehearsing hard for weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to start by asking you, before you were approached to originate this role in this play by Camilla Carr, were you aware of Tom Lee and his work?
Yes, I was. I'm a big fan of the Southwest, and I love Western art. So I was aware of him. However, I don't think he gets as much attention as he deserves nationally or internationally. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason may be because he did so many different kinds of art. He wasn't strictly a Western painter like yes. Remington or Charlie Russell. All of his war paintings from the Second World War are just a phenomenon unto themselves.
Yes.
And he also did portraiture and
the murals.
The murals.
And, extraordinary.
And, some of his painting is drawn on Navajo art, and some of it looks almost like sand painting, you know. So he did 100 different styles and was superb at all of them. It's pretty amazing.
As well as a writer.
Yeah, that's right.
Best-selling novelist as well, a historian. How were you approached? How did you become aware of this project? Camilla Carr, who's made El Paso her home for the last few years, and Catherine Smith McGlynn, her partner in creating the Frontera Repertory Theater Company, obviously chose you to debut this role. I'm just wondering how that came about.
Well, I had an in. I've known Camilla for close to 20 years now, and I know her son, Kaylee, for the same amount of time. And I met them in Los Angeles. We have a mutual friend, the playwright Beth Henley, who I've been close to for a long time. And I did her Broadway show, Crimes of the Heart. And that's how I got to know Beth. And then through Beth, I got to know Camilla. So she just asked me to do it. I was very flattered and very pleased to get the offer.
When you work on a role like this that is based on an actual person who's lived, and obviously a number of people probably in the audience knew Tom Lee or are aware, very aware of his life, what is the preparation that you go through for originating a role like that?
Well, in this case, I had a real leg up because Adair Margot collected, and she did a bunch of interviews with him where she basically let him sit down in an easy chair and tell his whole life story. So I read that, and I'm still reading it. You know, I still go back through it because there's so many insights in that. There will be people who probably knew him. So in this case, I can't try to do an impression of him or anything, but the best I can do is to try and capture his personality. He was an easygoing guy, and people loved him, and he loved people. Very humble, and as you can see, if you come see the play, there he just gives credit to everyone that he ever met for his success.
Mm. And you're a fellow Westerner. You were born in Nebraska and raised in Colorado.
That's so right.
I can see a similarity there.
Yeah.
What period does this cover all of Tom Lee's life, a portion of his life?
Yeah. It's, I mean, the first scene, he mentions his birth date and what was going on in El Paso at the time he was born and in his younger life. His father was threatened by Pancho Villa.
Mm-hmm.
And locked up Pancho's sister and brother, in fact. So it goes from there up into, and the play ends just after he marries Sarah, his second wife.
So that would have been, like, I think the late 30s, maybe?
Yes.
Somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
So the earlier part of his career before he went to Hollywood with his novels.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about you mentioned not doing an impression of him. And I think as lay people who are mystified by what goes on and how actors turn themselves into characters. And oftentimes when we see on film or on television or on the stage actors portraying real-life people, oftentimes reviewers will talk about the uncanniness of them, you know, channeling that person. But it's a superficial thing. It's almost like they're doing an impression, whether it's thinking of Frost Nixon, the film, when Meryl Streep played Margaret Thatcher.
Right.
There's a lot of tics and intonations and mannerisms that you recognize as being that person. But I'm guessing as an actor, you're trying to find something much deeper than just that impression of that person.
Absolutely. And the performances that often fail are the ones where an actor tries too hard to do an impression and you don't fill in the deeper stuff in the background. I thought Meryl's performance as Thatcher was great. And also, the one that I've always really liked is Philip Seymour Hoffman doing Truman Capote.
Oh, yes.
I thought he really not only captured his speech patterns and his physicality, but his whole angst and everything about him. That was a deep performance.
And a great actor.
Yeah, he's a very good actor.
And like you, he works in a number of mediums, both stage I know he has a love for the stage. Oftentimes we compartmentalize actors for their stage work, their television work, their film work, but you know, it's all acting.
Yep.
And I'm just curious though, they're very different mediums and sizes of screens, and one is live.
Right.
Do you have a different approach when you're working on the stage versus on film versus television, that you modulate that somehow?
I don't. Yeah. Other actors might. But
right.
I saw an interview with Bette Davis once where they asked her that very question. So do you see a lot of difference between stage and film? And she sort of went, oh, no. that was her answer. Was
I'm a professional.
Thing. Yeah. Well, one of the things that is happening in film now is that in my opinion, there seems to be a new sort of mumbling school among actors in film. And I learned to project and speak on stage. And the sound department always loves me, no matter what film I'm in.
Because the mics can get you.
That's right. They're going to hear me.
You don't have to come in and do post.
Do ADR,
right.
Which I still call it looping. Yes. And I'm dating myself by doing that.
Well, that's all right. I was about to call it looping, too. That's where the actor comes in after the fact and has to re-record their lines in sync with their image.
That's right. That's exactly it. Yeah. Everybody calls it ADR, automated dialogue replacement. But
of course, it's a very different process, maybe not getting up to the performance, but with film, you're often doing multiple takes. You perhaps subjectively know that, well, if I blow this one, we'll just do it again. We'll do it again and we'll do it again until I get it right. Whereas on stage, you have one shot and you have the connection to the audience that you don't have when you're making film or television.
You're right about that. And especially in comedy, that makes quite a difference. If you're on stage, they're laughing right after you say the line, or right after your castmate says the line, and you have to shut up. You've got to let them laugh, and then you come in. Now on film,
it's all about timing.
Yeah. Although in good directors will allow for laughs in films. They'll leave a pause because they'll say, you know, the audience is going to laugh after that.
I was looking over some of your resume, and you've worked with some extraordinary directors: John Cassavetes, Mike Nichols, Lawrence Kasdan, Taylor Hackford, Barry Levinson, Paul Verhoeven, Tim Burton. I mean, it just goes on and on the list.
I know. I've been really lucky, and
extraordinary.
They're all pretty amazing. John Cassavetes, I was recently talking to a young actor, and I mentioned that I had done my first film was for John Cassavetes.
And his wife.
And his wife,
Gina Rowlands.
Yeah, Gina Rowlands. And and he looked at me and said, John Cassavetes, is he related to Nick? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You bet.
That's right. And, of course, John Cassavetes was perhaps the godfather of independent American cinema and had a revolutionary acting studio up in New York. Did you know him during some of your stage work in New York, or?
No, I got the part in the movie because I knew the casting director, whose name, unfortunately, I can't remember at the moment. But I went in to be a reader for other actors who were auditioning for various roles in the film Gloria. And And it was I loved doing it, and it taught me a lot. And at the end of the day, he said, you know, thank you for doing this. It was really helpful. There's a small role. Would you be interested in doing it? And so I didn't even meet John Cassavetes until I showed up on the set. And I just had one scene. But it was with Jenna.
Hmm.
So it was,
what was he like as a director, particularly if you're in a scene with his wife?
He was great, and he had good spirits, but he was very disciplined, and he meant business.
Yeah, he seemed very professional. Everything I've ever read about him.
Yeah, yeah.
And his film, because he was mostly an independent director, he knew that time was short and
that's
money
right.
was short.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't do a lot of takes.
But he was an actor himself.
Sure.
As you've worked with film directors over the years that maybe have an acting background, do they approach directing differently than maybe other directors?
Not that I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
The process, well, as you know better than I do, the process of making a film involves a lot of the same stuff, and no matter what the film is, doing the master shot, then doing the
yes.
close-ups, the turnarounds, the two shots, and so forth. So they have to be pretty businesslike about that kind of thing. Yeah, I haven't noticed a difference between the ones who are actors and the ones who are not. Mike Nichols was particularly cool about dealing with actors. I was playing kind of a bad guy in Silkwood, and I did one take, and he said, "Okay, cut, that's good." And he said, "Ray, on the next take, could you just be meaner?" I thought that was a great note. And I said,
course,
yeah, I can do that.
Of course, Mike Nichols came up through the stage.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you have maybe actors who are just starting their careers, I'm sure you get asked, for advice. Is there something that you tell aspiring actors or people who think they want to go down that road?
Yeah, there are a couple of pieces of advice. One is you've got to study. You have to go to an acting class with somebody who knows what they're doing, because it's really so helpful. And secondly, just from a business standpoint, and this was something that nobody told me, I wish they had, the minute you start having some success, it's worth it to hire a publicist.
Hmm.
It really, really helps.
Raise your name above the thousands of others out there.
Absolutely. And because producers and directors and studio heads read newspapers and magazines and watch TV just like all the rest of us do. And if they see your face and hear your name enough, it doesn't hurt.
The phone starts ringing.
Yeah.
I want to get back to Tom Lee, Grace Note in a Hard World, which you'll be performing in this weekend. And when you're trying to get to the root of a character, particularly a character that, like Tom Lee, I'm wondering, as you were doing your research, was there anything, particular detail of his life that you just thought, okay, that's the key to me understanding who Tom Lee was and how I'm going to portray him on stage? Or is it more of a just filling your mind with a collection of information about him?
There's one moment in his life which changed everything, and it happens in the play, and that was sort of a key for me. He did a drawing of the mother of a friend of his. Wally Lowenfield was his friend. His mother's name was Helen Moore. And Tom Lee was 17 years old at the time. He did a drawing of her face, and it was in the 1920s, and it's sort of a Gibson girl kind of look, but it's a beautiful portrait of her and wearing a hat. And a woman who was an illustrator for magazines at the time was coming through town, knew people who knew people, and took a look at this drawing and said, you're good at this. You should go to the Art Institute of Chicago. And he had no plans to do that whatsoever, mm-hmm. but he took her advice, and that changed his whole life.
Yeah.
He was blessed in some ways and lucky in some ways, but he worked awfully hard at it.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you've worked awfully hard at this role, too, so that's wonderful detail. I really appreciate you sharing your time with us, and congratulations on tonight's performance.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I've already got the butterflies.
My guest today has been actor Ray Baker. Mr. Baker has appeared in scores of roles over more than a 40-year career on the stage and television and on film. He will originate the role of Tom Lee in the debut of the one-act play Tom Lee, Grace Note in a Hard World, tonight at 8 p.m. in the Philanthropy Theater downtown. The play is written by Camilla Carr and produced by Frontera Repertory Theater Company as part of the Tom Lee Month celebration. A matinee performance will be held tomorrow, Sunday, at 2:30 p.m. Tickets are on sale at the Plaza Theater box office, at all Ticketmaster outlets, and online at Ticketmaster.com. For more on Tom Lee, Grace Note in a Hard World, and to learn about the events marking Tom Lee Month, log on to tomlee.net. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.